Allison McGee is the award-winning author of picture books, poems, and novels for all ages, including the young adult novel All Rivers Flow to the Sea and the number one New York Times bestseller Someday. Her latest picture book published by Candlewick Press is called Song of Middle Sea, and Allison joins us now on Real Good Words. Hi, Allison. Welcome back.
Hi, Heidi. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. I had the wonderful experience. A friend of mine came over who has a kindergartner, a daughter, and we had the chance to read your book together. And this is someone who's been such a close friend of mine, but I haven't always had time to get to know her daughter because I don't get to see her very often. And it turned out that she, Parker, also takes piano lessons. And just absolutely loved the book. And so when we got done reading it, or she read it to me, actually, I said, well, what would you ask the author? And she said, well, if I could talk to the author, and she was picking it up and like lifting it and turning it, and she said, I would ask, what is this book made of?
Oh, I love this child. That is such a fabulous question. And you know what? I have never been asked that question before.
I know. I loved it.
Yeah, that's great.
Not to say that she didn't love the actual book of it, but I had never really thought about the physicalness of a book before and what that would mean.
Isn't that just so cool? Because when I was little, the first thing I did with picture books was open it up to the middle and stick my nose right in there and smell it.
That's right.
That's the beautiful thing about books as opposed to Kindles, which are great in their own way, but it's that physical, tangible thing.
Yeah.
So good for her.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this book and where the idea came from for you, because it's a course about a little girl, and I realize she doesn't have a name, does she?
No, almost none of my... I don't think I've ever written a picture book where the child has a name, and it's not been intentional. It's just... that's the way it's turned out.
So she is a piano student, and she's getting ready for her recital, which is a really scary time. But why did you want to write about this?
Well, as a fiction writer, I'll always say I make everything up. But to be honest, this book has a real story behind it. And the story is that all three of my children were taking piano lessons from this marvelous, marvelous musician named Carrie, who's a friend of mine, and I decided to pick up piano again too after a gap of, 30 years or so. And so we were all taking lessons together, and it was time for our first recital, and my very youngest child was, how old was she at the time? Probably about 7. And she had memorized her piece, and she's really good at the piano, and she was doing a great job, and all three of us were in the hall waiting our turn, and she was excited. And it came time for her to go up on stage and play, and she just sat next to me. It was in a church, and she just sat next to me in the pew, and I said, honey, it's your turn. And she looked up at me, and I saw that she was just silently weeping. And she held my hand, and she shook her head, and I realized that she was just too nervous to do it. So, of course, I just, let her stay next to me, and they passed on to the next person. And she was just overcome with nerves and this sense of failure. And so my heart broke for her. It was, she is a confident person in general, but she doesn't like to be the center of attention. And I think that is a huge big deal for some kids in their piano recitals. You are the center of attention. You're up there on the stage with no one else around you. And so 6 months later, the next recital rolled around, and by then she was good. She was fine. She trumped right up there and did her piece. But I never forgot that sensation of looking down at her and realizing just how afraid she felt. And so I thought, someday I'm going to write a picture book about a first recital. There's going to be some thread of this inside it. And so, of course, that's how it turned out.
That's great. I saw on the face of Parker, this little girl that I was reading it with, because I don't think she's had a recital yet, but she's taking some piano lessons. And so I could sort of see her understanding of being nervous about this. But then, you know, just sort of the magic of reading and the magic of a picture book where your funny little elements about wood elves and lucky underwear and she had so much fun reading it. And I wonder if you just tell us about the story of it a little bit.
Well, the story of it, it's a little girl. The unnamed little girl has been practicing and practicing and practicing for her first recital. She's full of confidence. She's one of those exuberant little beings, never has a second thought of anxiety. But the nerves begin to enter in the form of her older brother, who looks at her a little bit askance and says, "So, are you ready? You know, are you nervous at all?" And that plants a little seed of doubt in her mind. So she practices. She takes all her precautions. She wears her lucky underwear. She imagines the little wood elves, because her piece is titled Dance of the Wood Elves. And when the recital day comes, she's still on the outside feigning absolute confidence. Nope, no nerves whatsoever. Hoo, boy, have I practiced. I'm ready. And she notices that she's near the end of the lineup for the recital. And suddenly it's seeming as though it's a very, very long wait. And look at everyone. They have to walk up there by themselves. They have to do their piece in front of everyone. Boy, there's a lot of people out there. Gosh. And when it comes time for her to do her piece, she walks on up and she sits down, and she has worked on this piece for months, and she completely forgets it. So that right there is the climactic moment. You're the child. You're sitting at the Steinway, ready to do your piece, which you have memorized and have done for months, and you can't remember a single thing about it. And so she comes up with a very creative way of dealing with the situation.
You know, it's so great to, like, show kids their worst fear, the worst thing that could possibly happen in terms of a piano recital, and how to have fun with that. Like, well, you know what? You just do the best you can do at that moment.
That's exactly it. You do the best you can. You know, these days when somebody asks me how I am, you know, "So how are you? What's going on?" I'm doing the best I can. That tends to be my response. And this little girl really does. She does a fabulous job having forgotten her piece. And no, she never does remember it. She can't remember a single thing about it in the course of the recital, but she ends up just fine.
It's Allison McGee. We're talking about her latest picture book. It's called Song of Middle C. So as an adult taking piano, did you have to do a recital as well?
Indeed I did.
Oh, my, how was that?
Well, it was hilarious because I was probably 30 years older than the next youngest participant and probably 2 feet taller than most of them, and I went last. And so I stood in the lineup, and I just walked right up, and I did my two pieces. Why not? I think my teacher thought it was pretty funny. She may have asked me if I wanted to be in the recital as a joke, come to think of it, but I signed right up.
Wow. So that's Miss Carrie. She's also your piano teacher?
That's Miss Carrie. She was our piano teacher, and then she stopped teaching because she's really a full-time musician on her own and just a brilliant, brilliant pianist and musician. She plays in the band Elk here in the cities with her husband, Eric Luoma.
I think sometimes we do as adults think it would be interesting to go back to something like piano lessons or something like this and have just a whole different thing to do in life. What was that like for you? Because I'm sure you had to practice. And
yeah, oh, that's such a good question. I so wanted my kids to learn music, to learn how to read it, to love it, to get in the habit of making music every single day. And so that was the original impetus behind the piano lessons. And I had always looked back on the fact that I quit piano lessons at age 10 with this great regret. Like so many adults, I quit just as soon as my parents would let me. And why I did that to this day, I'm not entirely sure. And so I looked at them taking their lessons, my little kids, and I thought, you know, I want to do this. And so I signed up with Miss Carey, and it was just so wonderful. It was magical to sit there and practice scales and to go back to these pieces that I vaguely even remembered doing as a child, because the books, the basic books, haven't changed that much. And there was so much peace in sitting for half an hour and just running my fingers up and down those scales and practicing a difficult passage over and over. It was the kind of thing where it was fine for me not to be good at it and just work and work and work. Unlike writing, for example, where the sad thing is that when you're supposedly good at it, it can eat away at you a little bit. You know, I'm supposed to be good at this. I can't fail at this. Why is what I'm doing so terrible? I felt free when I was playing the piano, when I was practicing those scales and those pieces.
Yeah, I guess as adults, we don't always do things that we know that we're not going to be that good at, you know? So what a good experience to have.
It was just so freeing. You know, I'm not good at this. I will never be great at this. I can just enjoy this and work as hard as possible at it, knowing the boundaries.
Well, you know, when I was reading Song of Middle Sea, I mean, I think of it often as I read books, but especially a picture book, how important every single word is. And I think you really see it in a picture book, because I think there's this mistaken notion out there that, like, writing a picture book would be easy.
Oh, Heidi, God knows I fell into that trap. Before I began writing for children, I only wrote novels for adults, and I really couldn't imagine writing anything else or wanting to write anything else. That was who I was and what I did. And then it was on a dare from one of my sisters, actually, that I started to write my first picture book. And it was so hard. I was embarrassed at how terrible my story was. I wouldn't show it to anyone, and I kept chipping away, returning to it, trying again for 3 years before I had something that was actually a good picture book. And they remain, to this day, picture books are the hardest kind of writing I do, which is probably why I keep trying to write them. It's that challenge. They're fiendish, devilish little things. You have to have every word right. They have to feel ended somehow. You know, there has to be a feeling of satisfaction. There's no wiggle room in them. Unlike the length and spaciousness of a novel, you know, if you have a few extra words in a novel, that's probably all right. In a picture book, you do not have that liberty.
I have the book open right now, and I think when I thought of this was when she finishes the recital and there's a man there with a mustache. It's such a simple little feature of this man. And of course we get to see the illustration of it, but you know, you write, "What a fascinating composition, a man with a mustache says. What do you call it?" And I thought, wow, you're saying so much. You didn't overly explain his mustache, but it told us so much that there is this man there with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, maybe it is easy for some people. I can only speak for myself and say that I've written lots of things, and that's the hardest kind of writing for me, to write a picture book, specifically picture books.
On this episode of Real Good Words, we also get to talk to Kate DiCamillo, who's a friend of yours, and she's sort of known for her writing process. Her 2 pages a day is the way she goes at it. How do you go about writing? Is it a different process for, say, when you're doing a picture book versus fiction, you know, for either adults or young adults?
Oh, that's a good question. For picture books, if I have an idea for a picture book, I quickly try to capture an entire draft of it. The text for a picture book, if you ever sit down and type out the words to your favorite picture books, it's only a couple pages. So I quickly try to capture that little firefly in a jar and get it down on paper. You know, 90 times out of 100, it comes to nothing. But if I have an idea or a glimmer of an idea, I will try to flesh it out on paper. In terms of novels for children or adults, once I have an idea or an image that I believe will turn into a novel, I generally give myself a page quota, but it varies wildly. Right now, I'm working on a novel, and my page quota is 3 pages a day. Other times, it's been 6. Sometimes, it's been 10. During one excruciating 3-month period, I set myself 20 pages a day, which was just sadistic. I'm not exactly sure why I did that. I don't think my body has ever recovered. My neck is still cricked.
Oh, my gosh. Kate mentioned that you guys have something coming out together. I wonder if you'd tell us about it a little bit.
Yes, we do. We wrote a book together. I'm not sure exactly how we came to do this. I remember that I suggested to her, why don't we have some fun and write a book for children together? And she agreed, and she came over, and we sat down, and I made her some coffee, and we sort of looked at each other for maybe 20 seconds, and then she stood up and said, well, that was fun. And had already given up, and I said, no. Let's figure this out. And so we came up with the idea of throwing an object out there, you know, metaphorically, and the object was a sock. And then the sock turned out to be an object of some tension between these two girls who turned out to be best friends named Bink and Golly. And Bink is very short and very loud with wild hair, and Golly is very tall and very thin and more reserved. And so you can draw your own conclusions as to whether there's any similarities in real life between Bink and Golly and Kate and Allison. But I can tell you that it was just an incredible experience doing something collaboratively with another writer. We settled on a process very quickly where we worked 3 or 4 days a week for 2 hours at a time. And we would just work and work and work. We hammered out every line of the book together. I can think of two lines that came from only one individual. Kate had one line, I had one line. Other than that, it was a true collaboration.
That's going to be great when that's out. I bet that'll be really fun for you guys to see your book and to be able to talk about it together.
Yeah, I think it will be a lot of fun. And the illustrator is just incredible. His name is Tony Fucile, and we just saw the galleys, the first galleys of the book last week, and it's a cool little book.
That's Allison McGee. Her latest picture book, Song of Middle Sea, is up for a Minnesota Book Award, and you can find more information about Allison online at her website, AllisonMcGee.com. Allison, thanks so much for talking with us, and I can't wait to do it again.
Thank you, Heidi. It's always a pleasure.